Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Only for a Night by Naima Simone, narrated by Jair Bush. Chapter 1. Sex not only sold, it sold like a motherfucker. Ryan Ward leaned against the glass top of the bar and sipped from the one glass of liquor he permitted himself every night before the festivities kicked into high gear. The smooth smoke and caramel flavor of the 23-year-old Pappy Van Winkle bourbon slid over his tongue like a benediction. Drinking the Kentucky whiskey might be seen as treason in his part of the country, the home of Sam Adams, but fuck it, the shit was good. He surveyed the shadowed, cavernous room. Satisfaction beat within him, as warm and bright as the bourbon. Exposed brick walls lent character to the converted warehouse, while two long, wide glass and chrome bars dominated either side of the building. Strategically placed halogen lights illuminated the bars, the glass-enclosed balconies, the dance floor, already growing more packed with people, and the stage. High tables dotted the space around the dance floors, and long leather couches resided in shadowed corners and alcoves. In the 1800s, this brick building in Boston's Leather District might have once been used for leather manufacturing, but today it housed Lick, the city's hottest and most exclusive aphrodisiac club. Since its opening a year ago, Lick had quickly become the hottest place to party thanks to the patronage of sports figures, actors and actresses, musicians, and other celebrities. The bottom level of the building provided music spun by the country's most popular and in-demand DJs, premium top-shelf alcohol, dancing, VIP lounges, and the best time to be had in Boston. But on the upper levels, in the loft-style apartments, Lick delivered the ultimate and kinkiest fantasies. Bondage, spanking, domination and submission, voyeurism, role play. The club provided a private, safe, and luxurious place for well-vetted members to indulge in the most carnal and dirty side of their needs and imaginations. Whatever sexual aphrodisiac stimulated or excited a person's desires, Lick catered to them for an exorbitant annual fee. Not bad for three ex-members of the Irish mob, and a far cry from the world of extortion, weapons trafficking, and murder they used to live in. Now they dealt in kink, not blood. So Lick was more than a business. It was his, Sasha's, and Killian's redemption. And Ryan guarded it jealously. Ryan. Sasha Merchant, one of his best friends and one-third owner of Lick, leaned against the bar railing next to Ryan. Before Sasha could turn to the bartender, a tumbler of vodka appeared beside his elbow. Nodding his thanks to the pretty brunette and ignoring the "I'm down to fuck" invitation in her smile, Sasha picked up the drink and fixed his eerily bright blue and gray gaze on him. He reminded Ryan of the wolf Sasha's homeland was known for. The pale blonde hair cut close to his head, slanted exotic eyes, harsh facial structure, and big, wide-shouldered frame declared his Russian heritage.
"Hey, Sasha, everything okay?"
he grunted, sipping from his glass.
"Not exactly. Caught a guy dealing out of the bathroom last night. Said he's an O'Bannon."
Fuck. Ryan, Sasha, and Killian had decided to go straight 2 years ago, but getting out of the O'Bannon gang, one of Boston's Irish mobs, had been hell.
Even being the son of Derry Ward, the infamous mob hitman and enforcer, hadn't held any sway with the boss, Jamie Hughes. Blood had been spilled, and he clenched his jaw. The bottom line was, they got out, even if the how of it haunted him in the middle of the night. And damn if the O'Bannons were going to worm their way into the dream he, Sasha, and Killian had sacrificed so much for, or drag them back into that life.
Let them stay, for now, Ryan said, voice grim. And with the reminder that he keeps his ass clean. I don't care if he's an O'Bannon. While he's here in our house, he follows our rules, and that includes no dealing.
So far, they hadn't experienced any trouble with their former gang. So far. He doubted the O'Bannons were making a push on them, but they would also be fools to not be prepared and ready to defend what was theirs. Sasha's lips thinned into a flat line, and after several seconds, he nodded.
Anything else?
Ryan downed the last of the bourbon and set the glass on the bar behind him. He glanced down at his watch. 11 o'clock on a Friday night. Still fairly early down here, with people pouring through the club's doors and crowding around the bars and on the dance floors.
Yeah, one more thing.
Sasha frowned down into his drink, his fingers clenching and unclenching around the thick glass. When he glanced up, weariness darkened his wolf eyes, and unease tripped down Ryan's spine. If Sasha was nervous, then they all needed to buy fleece and fur-lined drawers, because hell was experiencing a cold snap.
What?
Ryan pressed. Another beat of hesitation.
Harper Shaw is here.
Fuck. He shouldn't have asked. Mission for tonight. Booty call. Wait, did people even say that anymore? What were they calling it now? Hookup? Getting ass? God. Harper Shaw sighed, sipping on her virgin rum and coke. Which, okay, was just a coke. I'm astronomically bad at this. What had she expected? That once she stepped into the popular club, all her inhibitions and nerves would fly off like Britney Spears' panties? She snorted. If only. Not that the stark, yet elegant, and sexy decor didn't inspire a person to let her freak flag fly, even if just for a little wave. The large, framed, black-and-white photographs dotting the exposed brick walls had her blinking, then flushing, and in desperate need of a fan. A bed with tangled sheets and pillows with indentations, as if lovers had just climbed out. Couples in silhouette, their bodies straining toward one another. The moon shining over the dark, mysterious water of Boston Harbor. Two hands, one masculine, the other slim and feminine, entwined, tightened around the other. Ryan's work. There were no nameplates to reveal the identity of the photographer, but she didn't need them. In her soul, she recognized his sensitivity and sensuality and the beauty that radiated from them. She contemplated the rest of the room, the black and chrome tables and chairs, the wide red and dark blue couches along the walls and tucked into corners, the glass balconies with crimson drapes and gorgeous staff in tight leather pants and blue silk halter tops or white shirts. Yes, sexy, but so damn intimidating. Stop it. She curled her fingers into a tight fist, as if she would use it to fight the urge to scurry back to the safe bolt hole she called a house. 2 years, damn it. It'd been 2 years since Terrence's death. 3 since Carly's, the precious baby she'd lost, miscarrying at 7.5 months. She briefly closed her eyes, and the bite of fingernails digging into her palm helped beat back the throb of pain in her chest. The thought of Terrence and Carly no longer buckled her knees like it used to, time and grieving having dulled the serrated edges some. Still, she sipped through her straw, the cold, crisp soda distracting her from ambling down that pocked and well-traveled road. The season for mourning had passed. The support group her mother had insisted Harper attend would have claimed she'd entered the 7th phase of the grieving process, acceptance and hope. Not for a man or husband. She'd been there, done that, had the shattered dreams and broken promises littering her heart to prove it. Screw the t-shirt. No, tonight she'd come to lick. God, she blushed just thinking the name. To feel alive again, to break out of the cryogenic state she'd hibernated in for the past 3 years. She'd come for sex. Hot, dirty, blackout from orgasm sex that good little Catholic girls from a respectable family should know about. The kind of sex that had Terrence staring at her as if an alien had snatched his wife's body the first and only time she dared to whisper her fantasy to him. Yes, that kind. And who better to provide it than the man who'd granted her a glimpse of what true need and passion were like before slamming that door shut and shutting her out. She just had to convince him that, A, it was a good idea, and B, she didn't want him to put a ring on it. She just wanted sex. A shiver quaked through her, the tiny hairs on the nape of her neck rising as if an intense sniper had her in his sights. She inhaled a deep breath, held it, then released it slowly, deliberately. Nada. Didn't do a damn thing for the frantic twisting and nodding in her belly. Picking up her glass in a trembling hand, she lifted it to her mouth and shifting on the surprisingly comfortable chrome and leather chair, she covertly scanned the packed room. People mobbed the dance floor, but the sense of being watched, hunted, didn't come from that direction. The itch intensified, as did the fear, anxiety, and excitement. The balconies? Nope. The scattering of tables and couches on the far side of the room? Not there, either. The bar? Oh, God. No, not God. Ryan Ward. Even so, floods of people parted, making way for him. Tinges of awe, lust, and envy suffusing their faces. As he stalked closer to her with a sensual glide that triggered her fight-or-flight instinct, wonder and arousal wound through her, like it always had when she'd been near him in the past. The man was a living, breathing, and walking danger. And sex. She rose, steadying herself with a hand on the table. The sheath dress suddenly seemed too tight, squeezing her so she couldn't even draw in a lung full of air. Jesus, he was beautiful. Nothing of the teen who had first appeared in her life by coming in between her and a couple of bullies existed in the man. No, that wasn't exactly true. He still possessed the same slumberous, hooded gaze, the same slashes of dark brows. The black hair appeared as thick, except now those silken waves grazed his razor-sharp cheekbones and the hard line of his jaw instead of falling around his shoulders. The same sensual, full mouth with its hint of cruelty. God, thoughts of that mouth had resulted in more confessions to her priest and acts of contrition than she could count. And, back then, a dark shadow of a beard hadn't dusted his jaw, chin, and surrounded those lips. In the years that had passed since she'd last seen him, he had become more. The promise of power and control that had simmered under his skin then radiated from him now. He wore it with confidence, as easily as he did the immaculately tailored black suit and shirt that draped over his wide shoulders and chest, slender waist, and strong legs and thighs. Why couldn't she tear her gaze away from the muscles that pressed against the slim cuts of his pants with each stride? She couldn't think, couldn't grasp and hold onto a single thought as he closed in on her, not halting until scant inches separated them, and she inhaled the wood and sex scent of his cologne. A gentleman would have ceded a respectable distance, not invaded her personal space. But Ryan Ward, ex-mob, her former best friend, the first man to break her heart, and star of every secret, illicit fantasy she'd ever dreamed, had never been a gentleman. For an instant, the hurt and disillusionment from years ago trickled past the fascination and attraction, sparking memories, painful memories, of Ryan coming to her with a bruised face and knuckles, and Harper, terrified for his life, throwing down an ultimatum, her or the gang. Of her telling Ryan that she wanted him, needed him, and flinging her heart at his feet, kissing him. And for one blinding moment of him kissing her back, caressing her breasts and nipples, showing her pleasure for the first time. Of Ryan refusing to leave the mob life behind, and then his terribly gentle rejection, his belief that he wasn't capable of relationships, especially not with her. Then, finally, of the night she'd informed him about Terrence's marriage proposal, and Ryan wishing her happiness and walking away.
"What are you doing here?"
The deep, midnight voice sliced through the memories, and she willingly locked the vault on them. His velvet tone slid over her exposed skin like a velvet caress, resonating in her chest, curling in her belly, and lower. She squeezed her thighs together, praying those piercing gray eyes with their thick fringe of almost ridiculously long lashes didn't notice how she shifted on the unfamiliar stilettos that were beginning to pinch her toes.
"I asked you a question," he said,
the demand silky, but no less menacing. Did it make her depraved or the shameless slut Terrence had called her that the danger embedded in that voice had her sex clenching?
I came here to speak with you, she stammered.
God, she sounded like an idiot. Forcing her hand to remain by her side and not cover her face in mortification, she tried it again.
I hoped we could talk.
A black eyebrow arched high.
Talk,
he enunciated, a corner of his sensual mouth curling into a faintly sardonic sneer.
What could you and I possibly have to talk about?
She peered over his shoulder, for the first time noticing the blonde giant standing behind Ryan. A flicker of memory ghosted across her mind, and an image of a tall, lean boy with exotic eyes and an accent superimposed itself over the man. Sasha Merchant, a close friend of Ryan's. And from the way he loomed behind Ryan's shoulder, as if protecting his back, he still was. Jerking her regard away from that unwavering and a bit unsettling stare, she returned her attention to Ryan.
"Would you mind if we... can we speak in private?"
Without his friend and, oh, hundreds of people as witnesses, her reason for searching him out was embarrassing enough. Having an audience for the conversation? Humiliating. No. She reeled back on her death-defying heels, teetering before grabbing the table tighter.
No?
She repeated. Seconds of silence passed between them. Irritation warred with mortification, and she tilted her chin in spite of the heat rushing up her throat and into her face.
That's it? Just no?
Yes. She sighed, exasperated.
Ryan.
Go home, he interrupted, the order unyielding, hard, dismissive.
Ryan, please,
she murmured, cringing at the plea that crept into her voice.
Sasha, would you mind escorting her safely to her car?
He turned, again disregarding her without hearing her out. Anger shoved the hurt aside, surging hot and hard inside her. She'd been dismissed, shelved, or patronized too often in her life. She'd also been mute, opting to remain silent, not rock the boat, not voice her needs, her wants, her desires. Years ago, he'd been the first person to teach that confessing what or who you needed resulted in rejection, humiliation. Terence had solidified that lesson. Well, that time had passed. She was tired of living, no, existing, in a cocoon that was supposed to be safe but was really suffocating, and he didn't get to push her back into that cocoon. Aiming a dark scowl at Ryan, Sasha stepped forward, his hand extended toward her.
Sorry, sweetheart.
Wait a minute,
she snarled, skirting past Sasha and latching onto Ryan's arm, ignoring the sexy flex of muscle beneath her fingers and palm. Ryan froze, possibly in surprise rather than from her hold.
We were friends for a long time, too long for you to just toss me aside like a stranger. Okay, it's been 5 years since we've seen one another. You can at least give me a few seconds.
Slowly, Ryan pivoted, dislodging her hand. Staring up into his lean face with its stark lines and stormy eyes, she shivered. Fear had picked a fine time to remind her of the absolute stupidity of stirring a predator. Cradling her hand to her chest, she rubbed a thumb over her tingling palm, the palm that had gripped the steel of his arm.
I'm sorry, she murmured.
5 seconds.
He slid his hands in his pants pockets.
Thank you, she sighed, relieved. If we could just...
3,
he stated, his tone past bored and veering into catatonic.
I need you,
she blurted. Damn. Oh, God. Just damn. His eyes narrowed.
What do you need me for?
I can't.
Panic crawling up her throat, she shot a glance at Sasha, who didn't even pretend not to be absorbed with the scene playing out before him.
Ryan,
she whispered.
2 seconds.
Damn it, sex. I need you for sex.
For the first time, Ryan lost his stoicism, shock widening his eyes and parting his lips. Beside him, Sasha sounded as if he were being strangled, and her? She squeezed her eyes shut, flames bursting inside her, consuming her in a conflagration of humiliation. Jesus Christ! Was death by mortification possible?
Oh, fuck, she groaned.
Yeah, Ryan drawled. I got that.
Yes, definitely possible.
Chapter 2. Puppies wrestling, swan boats floating on a lake, multicolored kites swaying in a perfect summer sky. Ryan played the wholesome, innocent images through his mind on an endless loop as he strode into his office, tossing in pictures of frolicking kittens for good measure, anything to keep his dick from punching a hole through his pants. Clenching his jaw, he resisted the urge to slam his fist over and over into the nearest wall, instead thrusting his hands into his pockets. Right now, he'd willingly bust up his hands rather than have his chest and gut shredded with the anger and fucking need that had no outlet. Unwanted need. Resented need. 5 years since he'd last seen her. She still shouldn't be able to elicit this aching, clawing hunger inside him. Shouldn't be able to stir memories like old restless ghosts. Memories he'd convinced himself were long dead and buried. Harper Shaw. Not daily. He'd never call her by another man's name. Wasn't the one that got away. He'd never had her. She'd offered herself to him, but she'd never truly been his, had always been beyond his reach. Damn her. The snarl reverberated against the walls of his skull, gaining speed and volume with each pass. Damn her. For strolling back into his life, for reminding him of what he'd allowed himself to foolishly want, hope for, dream of. People like him, the son of a mob hitman, a former thief, thug, and worse, didn't dream. Logically, he acknowledged it had been him who'd inserted the distance between them all those years ago. He should have never gone to her house and tapped on her bedroom window that night, not with blood on his hands, literally. It should have been a simple collection assignment. But it had gone to hell quick. The guy who'd owed money whipping out a knife and lunging for Ryan. But he'd been faster, better, deadlier. Desperate, Ryan had gone to Harper, needing the one pure thing in his life to wash away the dirtiness, the guilt. But she'd taken one look at his face and the crimson stains and freaked, demanding he leave the gang. God, she'd been so innocent. No one just left the O'Bannon gang, and he couldn't abandon Killian and Sasha, not even when she'd kissed him. And he'd taken it, for the first time, tasting the sweetness that had been taunting him since high school. So he'd pushed her away. The hands that had committed acts he was too ashamed to tell her about hadn't been worthy enough to touch her. What she'd wanted from him, a relationship, he couldn't give. What had he known of relationships? Quick fucks in a backseat or alley? Hell, he'd lost his virginity to a prostitute his father had bought and proudly gifted Ryan with for his 15th birthday. She'd deserved someone who could give her the white picket fence, the life in suburbia, safety. The gang life would have used her up, stolen the light from her eyes, replaced innocence with a world weariness she would never wear. That's what he could have offered her at the time. And when she'd come to him and told him she'd accepted her boyfriend of 6 months' proposal, he hadn't stopped her. No matter how much those doe eyes had begged him to, no matter how much it killed him inside. He turned at the soft click of his office door closing, deliberately schooling his features into a cold mask.
Harper hovered on the top of the two steps that led to his office, her hand still wrapped around the doorknob.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?